Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Red Hot Comic Book Movie News, shooting up your butthole. The Weekly Planet, The Weekly Planet.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Weekly Planet, where we talk movies and comics and TV shows. My name is James, also known as Mr. Sunday, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Nick Mason. My God, you're here. You're back.
It's 8:13 p.m.
What does that
in
mean?
The evening.
Means nothing to anybody.
And I can stay here as long as I like.
That's right.
I mean,
no.
I'm staying here as long as I like.
You absolutely cannot, Mason.
No, I'm gonna inflate one of those big pool things, and I'm gonna swim in your pool.
I don't have a pool.
But yeah, I'm getting one built. I'm gonna stay here until the pool is built.
I don't want it. I have to pay for the pool?
Yes.
Oh, no. I don't like these new lockdown rules where I have to build a pool for you.
Well, I mean, that's what the Premier said, so.
This is socialism.
Yeah.
This is socialism and dictators or whatever people think it is.
That's exactly right. Well, what I'm saying that it's important. Well, it's 8:14 now. But what I'm saying is that lockdown in Melbourne has eased.
Yes.
So I don't have to be at home by 9 p.m.
That's
so
right. Terrific.
That's exciting, isn't it?
But you do have to leave at some point, preferably.
I'm going
to
ring the Premier and we'll see.
See what he says. So
hey Dan, what do you reckon about maybe just hanging out at James's house just for the rest of the week?
Oh, I hate it, actually. You should go home. Oh, did you hear? He doesn't want you to be here. The Premier said that.
That did sound like him. That was his nasally non-committal voice.
Now, I'm very nasally and non-committal. You know that, Mason, at the Weekly Planet. But this week I was on a show where we had to make definitive decisions, Confessions of the Idiots with Sam Peterson. I went on again with Jess Perkins. If you don't know, it's linked below. But that show is where basically he takes terrible, terrible confessions from Reddit and then we make fun of them and make fun of the people who those things happen to. We just rip right through them.
You get enraged.
Then I get enraged.
And Jess gets incredibly
enraged. Yeah, Jess is way more enraged. And it's I think that's good because, like, having her there, people, you know, I'm less of a lunatic if we're all doing
it.
You know what I mean?
Do you think at this point you're pretty good, because you've done that show a bunch of times, do you think you're pretty good now at figuring out which is a real confession and which is like a...
I think
Sam's
most good at it, yeah. He's pretty good. It's always fun. It's always good to do. So that's linked below. And also linked below our Big Sandwich, which is our private little subscription service. Don't tell anyone.
Private little country club.
This week, leading up to Halloween, the spookiest time of the year, and I'm not just talking about... Here he is. He's gearing up.
Halloween?
Oh, I am actually. But I am talking about Halloween this
time. That's great.
Yeah,
that's great.
We did a Scream commentary.
We did. It's true.
So that's coming up. And where Nick Mason tries to puzzle out the murderer in real time during it.
Do I use logic and evidence or do I just sort of reckon at it?
You reckon at it.
Yeah, by being like.
Fair shot though.
By being like, what are these movies normally like? who's normally. You know, is it just foreshadowing? Is it whoever gives the most sinister look to camera? Dunno.
That's exactly right. But anyway, so next week will be our Halloween episode. We'll probably talk about that new Halloween movie and just some other spooky stuff in general. We've decided to call that episode, we workshopped it, A Hella Scream Spooktacular Shocktober the 30 Worst Brackets No Cowards episode.
Yeah, that's
you know,
right.
Like YouTubers are like, it's Spooktember. Mm. It's boo, but it's Halloween. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I've just mushed them all together.
BooTube.
BooTube, thank you. So Boob there you tube. Go. Time code's below, though, for the things we're going to talk about today. We've got bad news all around just up top, which we got to get through, unfortunately. And then we're going to talk about some Eternals reactions.
I mean, we don't have to get through it on four. We could skip over it.
I think it's important.
We can just live in a dream world.
I love living in a dream world. Maybe we will skip it. We're going to talk about Eternals, the responses to that. Hayden Christensen maybe returning as Darth Vader some more. Why the Last Man? Guardians 3. Trailers. We got Cowboy Bebop.
Alert the troops. It's Darth Vader some more.
Hello.
It's me again.
You thought I died, but I didn't die. This is my new voice.
I figured out the switches on the front. Can use this voice.
It doesn't make me in a better mood, but it makes me sound like I'm having a good time of it.
Execute the Ewoks. Kill them all. Sorry, I missed the last three or four entries on this.
That's fine. Okay. Trailers, Cowboy Bebop, Ambulance. Did you see that Michael Bay one?
Yes.
And Uncharted. What else we got here? Maybe some World War Hulk movies. And then a bunch of delays, but not dismays. And
very big week for delays.
That's right. Spider-Man news. And then we're going to talk about Dune.
Because Dune's out. We're back on track. We're seeing movies as they come out.
Excited.
Unless you live in Europe, in which case it's been out for like a month already.
You've already seen it. You're sick of it.
Yeah. But it's interesting that it's been out for a month in Europe, but Twitter has been completely silent.
Yeah.
But then as soon as it comes out, like,
in the States. Maybe we don't follow enough Europeans.
Maybe that's true.
Maybe they're spending too much time in cafes. Having a real time of it and not tweeting.
Oh, maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they would be.
A cosmopolitan time about it.
Oh, my God. They'd have an eclair in one hand and a cigarillo in the other and a red wine in their third hand, just swigging and smoking.
They'd be taking a photo, but it's a film camera.
Yeah,
and then they
wouldn't
post it anywhere. Gross.
Ooh, yuck. Ooh, precious memories. Put it on the shelf.
Yeah.
Put it on the shelf.
Europe more like Poorup, we all say to each other.
Yeah, we say that. That's true,
yeah. Unlike Melbourne, which is just a bad imitation of
Melbourne.
Most places.
It's Melbourne.
Yeah, it's Melbourne?
Yeah.
Very good. Anyway, so we're going to talk about our top, the death of cinematographer.
It's Melbourne Dictoria.
That's good. That's actually very good. I wish you didn't say it while I was talking about this tragic event, Mason.
Oh, okay.
It is an excellent joke.
Let's take a moment.
Okay, but if you want to throw it in at any point, that's fine. Just lighten the mood.
Hang on, let me think. Do I have any more state-based, hilarious state-based puns? I have too many. That's the problem. So that's often the problem. When you see me staring off into space sometimes, it's not that I don't have a joke. I'm bogged down in jokes. I'm spoiled for choice. I'm paralyzed with indecision about which joke I should use.
So the death of cinematographer Helena Hutchins, who died on the set of Rust at age 42. Recently, before this, she worked on the movie Arch Enemy, which I didn't see, but that has a very good look to it, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So I mean, it would have been bad if that, like, even if that movie was terrible, this is still terrible news. So what essentially happened, and I'm going to just go through it, and there's bits and pieces of information that have been released. We don't know the full details.
We were not there.
Yeah, that's right. We're not putting blame on anybody in particular, but maybe we will. Let's see what happened.
Wow.
So she was shot in the chest, and the director standing behind her, Joel Souza, was injured. The weapon was fired by Alec Baldwin after he was handed what he was told was a cold gun.
Which is a gun that doesn't have any live rounds in it, which I think means it can mean a regular bullet, it can mean a blank, it can mean like anything in there.
Like a piece of something in there, exactly.
Yeah. But it was meant to be like a gun that had nothing in it.
Yes.
Apparently.
So the idea was that this is from Variety, that the prop gun that he fired contained a single live round. Mm-hmm. And according to the Los Angeles Times, about half a dozen members of the camera crew, this is prior to this, walked out hours before the tragedy after protesting over the working conditions on the set, right?
Because we mentioned that last week.
We did, yeah.
There was a lot of the technical employees on movies went on strike because they were told, they were told that they couldn't go home and sleep or what have you. Like, I think even perhaps on this movie, some were told that they were going to get a hotel rooms nearby to the set, and then they were like, oh, we didn't get any hotel. You have to drive 50 miles home.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you're doing long days. That's ludicrous. So the union members have reportedly complained that, they were promised hotels in Santa Fe, but when they were filming began, it was 80 kilometres away for our metric brethren.
Our Europeans.
That's right. The Post also reported that a prop master was brought in, a new prop master, and the prop gun also misfired twice on Saturday. So prior to this, the same gun, and once during the previous week. And also was looking into information on this. Apparently, it's not a misfire because a misfire doesn't shoot. So this is something else. So apparently what happened is the prop master is supposed to only handle the gun and you're supposed to have it on your gun rack or shelf or whatever
it is.
And somebody has to be there the entire time. So it basically cannot be – people don't go up and go, oh, what's this? And just like have a look. So and then they hand it to the assistant director who checks the gun for each dummy round.
Yeah.
That didn't happen. These are steps that are supposed to happen.
Yeah, I've heard there's a guy – he doesn't do the podcast anymore, but you know Larry Miller? He's that comedian – actor. He's the dad in 10 Things I Hate About You.
Okay,
but
right.
He used to do a podcast, and I listened to one where he talked about, and like, when there's a gun on set, like the assistant director, he comes up to you and he goes, okay, this is the gun. It's going to be pointed at you. If you can see the barrel stopped up and you open this and it's empty and blah, blah, blah. And then they do the take, and then he comes up to you in the next take and he goes, okay, it's the same gun and it's empty and it's blah, blah, it's locked up or whatever. So they, like, it's supposed to be like every step of the way.
Yeah.
It's that.
Yeah, exactly. So basically none of that happened, and I think it was the assistant director, but I might be wrong, handed it straight to Alec Baldwin. Someone, you know, they said cold gun.
Right.
And then
it was given to the assistant director and he went, oh, okay, there it is.
No, he gave it. There was no in-between stuff.
I see,
it was
right.
just this is a bit again, this is just what I've heard.
Yeah, right.
This might change.
Yeah.
You know, so and people are obviously drawing parallels to what happened to Brandon Lee on The Crow.
Yeah.
Which was a not dissimilar accident, which occurred in 1993 or 1994.
Yeah, right. So this was a real bullet.
Yeah, it says it's a live round. So yeah, I don't know what that means, though, in particular, to be honest.
It could be a blank, but again, blanks are often still lethal.
Yeah, and again, it's an ongoing. Yeah, exactly. You can blind someone with a blank. You can have them. You can make them deaf. Like, they're still dangerous. And a lot of people have now said, you know, there's alternatives to this. You can use airsoft, you know what I mean? You can obviously you can do things in post with muzzle flashes and whatever. And I know people like CGI muzzle flashes look false. And
I've often said that, yes.
Yeah, but there's also...
But if the alternative is people being shot.
But also, like, they often use them and you don't know.
That's exactly right,
there are ways to do it.
I would imagine that whenever I notice it in a movie, it's probably like a very low-budget movie or it's like... Yeah, like there are probably plenty of movies where I would never have picked up on it and it is completely... CG or the guns aren't real or any you know, any number of things. But yeah, I mean you can get the airsoft guns that have a realistic recoil.
Yep.
You can add more recoil in post, you can add the casing coming out of the gun, you can add
that. Yeah.
And oftentimes I think they have to like add muzzle flash anyway.
Yeah. Cuz
if you're firing a gun, the flash will happen in between frames of the camera.
Oh, okay, right.
So oftentimes somebody will fire a gun on set and you don't even see
that's
it because it's just not picked up. So they have to add it anyway. So
yeah. And the thing is as well, like, this has obviously been going on for a long time, and this system, if you do it, works because you've got multiple people checking it. But the problem is when these things break down, that's when things like this happen. Mm. So, you know, I could see why that, like, you could call for this being like, well, you just need proper systems in place and this won't happen. But
yeah.
I feel like things like this are going to keep happening if people aren't being paid properly and they're bringing in other people and whatever. So I think there's multiple levels of fault here.
Yeah.
I don't think you could pin it on one person in particular.
Yeah, I don't know much about the armor, but apparently it was like her second major film.
Okay, right, I didn't know that. Yeah.
She's the daughter of a more famous armorer. Like, it's the family business.
Right, okay.
So,
jeez. All right, fair enough. Anyway, moving on to
a more grim thing,
a slightly less grim thing.
Okay, terrific.
This is Batwoman.
Oh, we're tunneling out. We're digging
sort
up.
Sort of.
Okay,
this
great.
This is Batwoman drama.
Uh-oh.
And by drama, I mean terrible things. People saying terrible things about each other.
Yeah, right.
Here we go. So Ruby Rose, she wrote of the series because famously she left at the end of last season. She was like, I'm quitting and whatever, and, you know, it's all fun and fine and whatever. And that was kind of everybody's official statement.
Yes.
She's come out and said enough is enough. And she named a number of things which happened to her and she witnessed on set, including she was forced to return to work after serious injury and surgery. And she also said they told her if she didn't, the whole cast and crew would be fired. She accused former head of Warner Brothers TV, Peter Roth, that he had women like steam his pants around the crotch while he was wearing them. He also said Dougray Scott, who was nearly Wolverine, was abusive towards women, and he hurt a female stunt performer. She also said that the working conditions caused a crew member to receive third-degree burns and, like, the skin, like, melted off this person's face. She said, I would not return for any amount of money, nor if a gun was to my head, nor did I quit. I did not quit. They ruined Kate Kane and destroyed Batwoman, not me. Now, there's been some pushback towards this, which I will also go through.
Whoa, you're going to give both sides of this argument.
You've got to do your own research. You know that, Mason.
I know that.
So, Dougray Scott refutes the claims, as did Peter Roth, who was the Warner, who's not, I don't think he's the head of Warner Brothers TV anymore. They've released an official statement, Warner Brothers, calling it revisionist history. They said that their action was a result of an internal probe into multiple complaints about workplace behavior. There's an actor on the show called Camrys Johnson, who Ruby Rose called an egomaniac kid. But he said she was fired, and it's very hard to be fired when you're the lead. Imagine what you'd have to do for that to happen. And a production assistant by the name of Alexander J. Baxter said, Rose stormed off set, she yelled at people. Whenever she was interacted with any of the production assistants, we were disregarded as the trash we picked up. One day the studio spent an entire morning setting up her requested green room, 6 heaters because she was used to the heat from Australia, and a table of snacks, only for her to show up, giggle, walk away and say she was good. So essentially, it's all terrible. And if I had to guess, first of all, CW does have a reputation for terrible conditions and long hours and all of these things. And look, I'm sure there's probably a bit of truth to a lot of this, but I don't know which elements are true and which are not. Jack, all right, here we go.
I did this podcast under the condition you knew exactly which elements of that were true and false. Mm. And you were going to lay it down for me listeners.
Yeah. Look, honestly, I don't know. There's multiple people saying that she was terrible, and there has been proof before that the CW, like Stephen Amell has talked about, like the stress.
Yeah.
He's the lead of like working on one of these shows.
Exactly, yeah. He had a sort of a post-Arrow mental breakdown, I think. Mm. So
there you go. Yeah. Anyway, no doubt this will play out for weeks to come, and maybe we can just ignore it. I don't know. When you get in the weeds of a thing like this, it's like you end up every week being like, well, this person said this and then this person, and I just, you know what I mean?
We're not the bloody Hollywood hot goss recorder, are we?
I've got some Hollywood hot goss for you, Mason.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh,
this is about a Eternals reaction.
Folks, we're rebranding. We're the Hollywood hot goss.
This is for Eternals.
Wait, we're the Hollywood hot goss
hotline.
Hotline.
Leave a message.
There we go. Yes. Please do.
I'm going to read some Eternals reactions on Twitter because they did some screenings. Okay. People are loving it. Here we go. Eternals is so dense.
Are we taking these with a grain of salt, though, bearing in mind everybody who gets advanced screenings of these loves them?
Yes.
Great.
Eternals is dense, and I felt the weight of the exposition often. That's one. Number two. So Eternals is dense, rich, and has more depth than any story than anything the MCU has ever done thus far. Number three. Eternals is thought-provoking, thematically dense, and Eternals is surprising, epic, beautifully dense.
Whoa.
Eternals is unlike any other film in the MCU. It's dense with information, and I don't think it's for everybody. Eternals gonna need some time to chew on it. It's dense.
So I got trapped in the heart of a star. It was really dense. I couldn't escape the event horizon because of its density. Still there now. I've become a two-dimensional being because of the density. But I still loved Eternals. I live on the movie screen now in two dimensions.
So there you go, dense.
I think dense was maybe
dense
on
can
the
be
PR.
Bad.
I think dense was on the PR packet or something. And people went, I don't want to say convoluted because
it's early, but I don't think dense. I think that's a good way of saying like it's maybe complicated, and I didn't like elements of it.
Or it was boring.
I might be wrong.
And I didn't like it.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. It looks terrific. I'd love it to be great. I mean, who doesn't love movies to be great?
I love movies when movies are great.
They have to be great or terrible.
Yes.
Because then I can say things. But if in the middle, I'm not interested.
That's right.
I'm not interested in your middling Ghostbusters sequel.
Mm.
Speaking of, Ghostbusters starts this week for Caravan of Garbage.
That's right.
Going through some Ghostbusters stuff.
Mm.
What do you think about that? Are you excited for Eternals?
I'm excited for Eternals.
Yeah, cool.
I like all their different little doodads. Widgets and gadgets.
And bits and bobs.
Yeah, and their Lexuses.
Yeah.
Their Lexi, their various Lexi models.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah. Should be fun.
But we'll see.
There's already rumors floating about story and characters and what have you.
I heard there was a big spoiler, which I've managed to avoid for now. But it'll probably be spoiled. But I think Variety or someone was just like, this thing happens. This big thing happens.
It's dense.
It's so dense.
Spoiler alert, this movie's dense. It's not that I'm dense.
Yeah.
It's the movie.
Yeah. Anyway, I mean, look, to be fair, they're mostly positive.
Yes.
And, like, the negative ones are like, maybe it's too much. Like, that's
I don't think
the
it'll be that much, honestly.
I've never seen a movie, so it might be a bit overwhelming.
Yeah,
that's
definitely
not true. I saw the train pulling into the station.
Yeah, terrific.
And
nice.
It scared me. It frightened the bejesus out of me. So I'm a bit worried.
But you were saying some Hail Marys that night.
You better believe it. Mm. So, yeah, obviously I'm a bit scared to go back to the cinema, especially if it's a dense experience.
Be densely packed, certainly.
I also think like dense is often like, I use it as an insult. Like, are you fucking dense?
Mm.
Like, so maybe that's just a negative connotation for me. Maybe it's because people call me dense. Maybe that's what it is. Are you dumb? Are you a dumb guy? Yes. And I'm not getting smarter at this point, am I? I'm committed to this.
This
is my brain forever now.
Yeah, I didn't learn it enough when I was a kid. And then the barrier came up and I can't learn anymore.
Anyway, according to the Hollywood Reporter, you're gonna love this. Hayden,
sounds like Hollywood Hot Goss Hotline.
Wow, give us a ring. Ring in now.
Ring a ding ding.
Hayden Christensen.
Give us a ding a ling. Give us a jingle jangle on the Hollywood Hot Goss Hotline.
We could do breakfast radio.
Yeah, I think so.
Hayden Christensen is going to return as Anakin in the Ahsoka TV series.
Ooh.
Is it a Force ghost? Is it a flashback? Mm. Did he get out of that Ewok fire? I'm back. I'll talk like this now, whatever. Whatever we were doing.
Flashback, right? Because Ahsoka...
Or ghost.
Yeah, maybe both. Because they teamed up in Clone Wars, right?
Yep, well done.
Clone Wars.
Good commitment to that. You're right.
I am right.
You can go hard on that, though. You could have just like been like, he's in Clone Wars, definitively.
Well, now that I know, I can tell you he's in Clone Wars. I'll never commit to it. I'll never commit.
I think maybe a bit of both.
Okay.
Ghost him up, mate. Yeah. He looks mostly the same. You'd probably have to de-age him like slightly.
Yeah.
Give him the wig. Just go for your life, you know what I mean?
Just give him short hair.
No, you can't. They committed to that look. That's the look he died with.
No, that's
or
true.
Became Darth Vader with or whatever.
Yeah.
They switched his ghost, remember?
Yeah, right.
He's a Hayden Christensen ghost now.
Do you think they ever considered, like, you know, when they did the special editions of the original trilogy, like that scene where his helmet comes off, just a big flop of golden hair comes out of it?
It already melted off.
No, but he's gotten plugs.
What if he's wearing a wig?
He got plugs put in. Like there's an awkward middle period when he wasn't quite down with the Darth Vader bit, so he had plugs put in, so every time he takes the helmet off, it's like...
Where did they harvest the hair from?
His butt.
That looked on fire.
No, his legs and his arms.
Okay.
And his head.
Yep. Good stuff.
Plenty of hair left on that butt.
Anyway, I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do outside of a George Lucas Star Wars movie.
Right.
Because, you know, I think he's a good actor.
Yeah.
Anyway... This is great because Why the Last Man, you're excited for this. It started this year after a decade in development and it's cancelled. They cancelled it.
That's right, yeah.
I was like, I should start that show.
I wasn't even entirely sure what
I think it's on Hulu, but does that mean it's on Disney Plus?
I'll just check right now to see if it's on there.
Because we get most of the Hulu stuff through that, right?
Yeah, but we don't get it week to week, which is unfortunate.
That's true.
There's a artist called Branson Reese. He does dirty, weird comics
and
stuff.
Yeah, I'm a big fan.
A
horrible duck or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like Swan Boy. So he has. He has like a series of shorts on Hulu currently, called Swan Boy. But I don't think they're on.
Oh, okay.
This one right now. Hang on. What are we talking about? I've lost my train of thought.
Brandon Reese.
No. Last Man on
Hulu.
Yeah, it's not on Disney Plus yet.
Oh, well, doesn't matter.
Nor will it ever be, probably.
Probably not. So anyway.
We do have Last Man Standing, i.e. Tim Allen has too many daughters.
He's got so many daughters. So he's a man. How does he even have so many daughters? How does that even work? So showrunner Eliza Clark says she remains hopeful that it can return on another platform. I think this is a property that, you know, is a beloved comic and people have been waiting for it. It was supposed to be a movie in like 2009 with Shia LaBeouf or whatever.
That's right.
And it's been that long in development. So I think there's definitely room to pivot in this. But I haven't really heard anything about it, like good or bad. Like I don't know. Maybe it was just here, but it wasn't marketed very well, it seems.
Yeah,
so
exactly, yeah.
Anyway, there you go. Mm. Here's news, Mason.
Here's news.
Guardians 3 has begun production. MCU updates on Twitter, they were like, guess what? Daniela Melchior, who you might know as Ratcatcher 2 in Suicide Squad, she's joining the cast as Moondragon. And James Gunn took to Twitter to say, in all caps, false.
Oh, yeah, right.
He's back.
Just shooting
shit down. Boom, boom, bam.
He got a call from the Hollywood Hot Goss Hotline and he's like,
thank you and false. Wrong number.
Oh, that's right. Someone's calling collect and I'm not going to accept the charges.
I spit in the face of this phone call, he said.
Yeah, that's right.
That's his catchphrase.
Too.
I spit in, that's his catchphrase.
It's got the stutter in there and everything.
Yeah, so there you go. Anyway, that's starting, which is good. Apparently not delayed, but I do want to talk about some things that were delayed in a minute. We got trailers. One for Cowboy Bebop was a little like...
little vignette.
Anime inspired, like they were using the lines and the panels to fight and
thought it was fun.
And biff and bash.
I wonder if that is gonna be is that evident?
Is it in the show?
Is it represented?
I think it's probably
the show as
some
whole?
Of it. Yeah. But I'd say it would probably be too much if they did the whole show like that.
Yeah.
You know, just some clever like scene transitions and you know what I mean? Stuff.
I know about stuff. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
We also have the trailer for Michael Bay's Ambulance, Bay Films, which, by the way,
yes,
not a good name. Bay Films.
Yeah, it's not good, is it?
Think of a better thing.
Yeah.
Bayos it would be better.
Bayhem is good.
Bayhem Times. I don't know. Anyway.
Michael Films.
What do you think?
I don't want to watch any more Michael Bay movies.
I like the trailer. Yeah. I like who's in it.
Yep.
And it's mostly set in an ambulance, it seems. So you can't do too many explosions within that ambulance.
That ambulance is going to spin, though.
Boy, is it.
Yeah.
How many times do you think they can spin it and it keeps going? Or will there be one big crash?
I reckon there'll be two big crashes.
Wow. Yeah. And the second one will do it in.
Yep.
Interesting. Yeah. Mm. I also think that Jake Gyllenhaal's brother is going to get away and he's going to sacrifice himself. He's going to be like, we've gone too far. And he's like, you've crossed the line. You told me I was just going to pay off my debt with my family or whatever. And I was a crim and you did this and blah. And then Jake Gyllenhaal's like, you got to get it together. This is what you got to do. Society's against us. And then Jake Gyllenhaal in the end will let his brother get away and he'll get shot or arrested or something.
Yep.
That's the end of that movie.
Correct.
Sorry for spoiling it. We also got a trailer for Uncharted.
We sure did.
And people are like, this isn't Uncharted. This is Little Boy Uncharted. This is Uncharted Babies.
Oh, my God, yes.
Yeah. I thought it was fine. I thought it was like, I see what they're doing. They're putting Tom Holland in now. Mm-hmm. So if this is...
When he grows up and becomes a man.
Exactly. So they can make him Nathan Drake for the next 40 years.
Yeah.
It's smart. If it's good.
If it's good. And by the way, I mean, how many do you think it'll get? How many in the... What's the record? Is it two Tomb Raider movies?
It's been two in a row.
Yeah.
Is the record of Tomb Raider movies.
Yeah, yeah.
In the same continuity you're talking about. Yeah. I mean, The Mummy had three. Well, technically four.
I'm not talking about, like...
Video games.
I'm talking video games.
Oh, it's Resident Evil, without a doubt.
Oh, of course. There's a million of those. Yeah. I've got about... There's a billion Resident Evils, and there's two more on the way. So.
Yeah. But they're new. Yeah. The new ones or whatever.
That's true. Mm. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's Tom Holland, and he's a guaranteed earner, so, you know, he's hot stuff.
I think he looks good in it, honestly. Mm. And there's the bit where the Scottish guy's like, and Tom Holland's like, what? What?
Excuse me? Sure. Yeah.
I'm from England. I mean, America. The most upsetting thing for me is it's the Sully thing. It's the Mark Wahlberg's just no effort Sully.
He's just Mark Wahlberg, isn't he?
Because at least you could say for little boy Tom Holland, a 25-year-old man, a grown man,
yeah,
is that he at least looks like a blend between like little Nathan Drake and older Nathan Drake. You know what I mean?
Sure,
there's you can
it's
see
the Henley that does.
Yeah, you can see it there.
Wearing a Henley right now in honor of Nathan Drake.
And that's right. In honor of our boys, Nathan Drake. So, in honor of the Nathan Drake quadrilogy.
Yeah.
Not including the PS Vita port and the PS4 spin-off.
Yeah.
Which are also very good games. Mm. But of course, they're doing the plane thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever played Uncharted 3.
No, I am aware of that scene.
And people are like, this is unrealistic. And I'm like, this is what it is.
Sure, yeah.
This is the game. So
it did, I mean, it, yes, and I think...
I'm not saying it looks great. I'm just saying that's what it is.
I think it looked very much identical to the video game.
That's what I mean.
Sense that there was that sense of like CG unreality
and
to it.
You can jump between crates and people are like, you can't do that. And I'm like, whatever.
Sure.
Whatever.
Yeah.
But if he's going the same,
wouldn't you have rather an homage?
If
to
he's
that?
Going the same speed as the plane and he jumps with the plane, how's that work? But he's also got the wind rocketing him against him, Mason.
Yes.
But if you're inside the plane and you jump, you're still going the same speed as the plane because you're in that capsule. Does that make sense?
Yes.
When you jump in a plane, you don't fly and hit the back wall.
I'm very hesitant to agree to any of this because I can't work it out fast
Do
enough.
Do you think
my head.
Hayden Christensen was in the Clone Wars or not, Mason?
Yes.
What a lie that.
Hayden Christensen wasn't.
No, he wasn't there.
I knew it.
Yeah.
That was a trick.
It's a good point. I didn't mean to be, but yes. Anyway, do you think this is going to be good is my question.
They've really, I mean, it feels like they've really laid a lot of it on the table here. Like, I feel like.
Too much Uncharted.
No, but I feel like there's not. This trailer has sort of laid out exactly what this movie is going to be. I don't feel like there will be really any surprises.
Mm.
It's pretty much going to follow the plot of at least one of the games. So if you're aware of that, like...
I think 3 is the one with a bunch of Oh, a few of them do, but it's got some kid flashbacks, and that also has the cargo plane in
okay.
it. Yeah.
Is he falling out of multiple cargo planes?
Can't help himself, mate. Yeah. He doesn't put his seatbelt on. It's not a requirement.
Yeah.
But, you know, you don't want to put too many rules and regulations on things. You know
what
I mean?
That's true, yeah. Yeah.
Just freedom.
Let the market sort it out.
That's right.
Let the market of hanging around big bits of netted cargo and then you get dragged into the net and then you get pulled up onto a plane and then you get pushed out of the plane. You're like, I've got to jump on this cargo.
Mm. I think it could be like silly and big and fun though,
yeah.
honestly.
I guess.
That's what I'm hoping
for. Yeah, like if the moments in between the set pieces, the action set pieces we must have and the stuff in the trailer, if that is good,
yeah,
sure.
I saw a casting where someone was like, they should have cast Jake Gyllenhaal as Nathan Drake and then Bryan Cranston as Sully.
Yep.
And I'm like, it's pretty good actually.
Yeah.
Like that's a pretty good choice.
I think they should have done Tom Holland as Nathan Drake and Zendaya as Sully.
Oh, that's good. That's even
better.
Because
they're besties.
That's even better.
They're besties. I mean, and we're living for it.
You're going to have to do the mustache.
It's giving
though.
Me life.
It's got to be mustache though. Yeah, yeah, it's got to be mustache time.
Yeah.
And very physical. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. We'll find out when Uncharted comes out in, I want to say February, but I also don't want to commit to anything.
Same.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the same with life. Mm-hmm. Always keep one foot out the door. Keep your options open. You know what
Always
I mean?
Always keep one foot out the cargo plane. Just in case. Just in case you need to.
That's right. This is why the GWW, who says, what's that short for? I'm not sure. I went to the website and that's just what it was called. Greg Pak and John Romita Jr.'s, they did World War Hulk, I think. Anyway, apparently they're making a World War Hulk movie.
Okay.
Now, we sort of already did Planet Hulk.
That's true.
In Ragnarok.
Mm-hmm.
So when I first saw this, I'm like, didn't we do this? No, World War Hulk's the follow-up one where the Hulk's like, I'm the fucking king of Earth. Come and get me. Mm. And then everybody does.
Sure. And he's like, well, I've learned my lesson.
Yeah.
That's the last line of the movie.
That's right.
I'm saying it right now.
It's going to be interesting. I'm going to be normal in the next movie, I promise. Yeah, I've learned my lesson. Right. It's going to be interesting to go from like Smart Hulk to this.
He might still be smart.
I guess he could be.
Maybe smart and savage. How else can you take over the
world? Like glasses and a big throne. I don't know. I don't think you should be
goggles.
Goggles, yeah. Yeah,
steampunk brass goggles. Goggles.
Yeah, you got me.
World War One flying hat.
The interesting thing about this is Marvel still don't have the solo rights to a Hulk film.
Yeah.
They are technically still with Universal.
So are they going to try and sort of...
They could call it a different thing.
Yeah.
They just could call it World War...
Smulk?
Yeah, Hulk, or just Hulk in really small lettering, and that gets you around it.
They just a lot of people are like, "We're gonna, yeah." They just call it World War.
Yeah, it's like
all the trailers are very misleading.
It's like OJ Simpson.
Just a lot of sad widows at home in black and white. And
oh,
then,
good stuff.
And you get in the movie, and it's the Hulk kicking a planet through the sun. Or
if it was me, I'd call it World War, and you do it like OJ Simpson's book, where he's like, "I did it."
If I did,
and then it's got if. I yeah, did it all, yeah. I had, or whatever. It's tiny writing. So you do World War.
Yeah,
just nice. Really small
yeah.
in it. But you officially call it World War. Mm. And you make $1 billion. Now, if this is true and they are going to call it World War Hulk,
I'd call it World War Bruce.
They're gonna, if they are calling it World War Hulk, they're going to have to strike a deal
yeah,
of some
sure.
description.
Are they going to make it and then see if they can kind of force it through?
I don't know.
In the courts of public opinion?
I think they're past the point of doing a joint project with Universal. Mm. Or I think it might be Paramount.
One of those.
Anyway, because they don't need to do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they could just bully them into doing it.
Maybe they just buy whoever owns him.
Exactly. Exactly.
Otherwise, it's World War Bruce. I'm going by Bruce now. I don't like going by labels anymore. I think Hulk's kind of rude, actually.
Yeah.
So I'm,
you call me that. It's not my name.
Yeah, I'm Bruce.
Wait, did Hulk shout Hulk first? Or did people call him
actually,
Hulk?
Actually, technically my first name's Robert. So maybe World War Bob.
Is he?
Yes, it's Robert Bruce Banner.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
And in the TV series, it was David Banner.
I did know that, actually, yeah. Anyway, delays but not dismays, Mason.
Go on.
So Doctor Strange has moved from March 20th, the next one.
Yes.
Moved from March 25th, 2022 to May 6th, 2022.
This isn't a shipment of DVDs to your local JB Hi-Fi. They haven't delayed those.
No, they're still hot and fresh.
Yeah.
And so that's going from March to May of 2022.
Okay.
That means Thor, Love and Thunder.
That doesn't seem that long right now.
No.
But when it gets to March, I'll be like, meh.
I like movies. I like seeing, there was supposed to be a movie and now I'm seeing a different, I'm seeing Uncharted again. Because that came out in February, maybe.
Yeah.
Thor, Love and Thunder is going from May to July of 2022. Okay. Black Panther 2 is going from July to November of 2022.
Oh, that's a long one.
The Marvels is going to, not really, is going from November to February of 2023. And Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania is going from February to July. That's a long one, Mason. Or yeah. That's the same amount of time. It's a little bad news at Disney, though, because Indiana Jones has moved from July 29th, 2022 to June 30th of 2023. They pushed it a year, actually.
you dog.
He's going to be so old. He's going to be a million years old when that movie comes out.
Well, sure, yeah, but...
Yeah. I mean, they're filming it now.
They're filming it now currently, so yeah.
But that's a long time between drinks.
Do you think that'll be part of the interview? People will be like, yeah, you're a lot older than when this movie was made.
Aren't you a million years old now?
Yeah, I'm a million years old. Yeah, I'm a million years old. What's it to you?
They're making you do this. They're making you sit with me and do this and talk about how you're a million years old. How do you feel about that?
And we're in a crashing plane. We're in a plane that's crashing down to the earth right now. Why did they make us do this? Like it's a fun stunt for Indiana Jones. But we're going to die. And he's like, oh, I don't care. I dream of death these days. I'm Harrison Ford.
A million years old.
A million years old.
Anyway, so that's good, I guess. But Sony, that's a full year.
I also saw this week, like maybe it was like a promotional image or like maybe it was a tie-in image for Ms. Marvel.
Oh, yeah.
And she definitely had like the energy hand. So yeah, I think
like the Green Lantern.
Yeah, so they, I think they're definitely changing
it. I think they might be doing a bit of both, I've heard.
All
like
right.
A blending of the two.
Oh.
I want a big rubber hand. But they're doing Mr. Fantastic. And so I think that's what's happening
here.
Yeah,
I think so too, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, Sony Pictures have announced...
Well, he's just some rubber idiot, isn't he?
Just a rubber idiot. Yeah. Sony Pictures announced the 2023 release dates, two of them, for mystery Marvel movies in June and October. So in the Spum universe.
This is a journey into mystery, isn't it?
Certainly is. What do you think it's going to be? I mean,
the Spumiverse.
It's going to be a Venom one.
Yeah.
What's the other one?
And it can't be Kraven, right?
Could be. Could be a Black Cat.
Yeah.
They announced some other things, didn't they, that we're going to do?
I can tell you it's going to be disappointing, whatever it is.
We haven't seen Venom 2. Maybe it's amazing it comes out.
No, I just mean whatever they've got left in the tank is going to be disappointing.
Yeah, okay.
I think.
Maybe a Spider-Man Venom, one of them?
I reckon that would be in this. If they were saying, I reckon the tease would include maybe it's going to be a Spider-Man Venom. So I think it's something
lower on that. I don't think they'd talk about what the next Spider-Man movie is until after this next one's out.
Yeah, right.
Because then they'd be like, what if he dies? Oh, if he dies in this one.
Dies in this one. You know, guys, I think there's a rumor he's going to die in this one.
He's not going to die.
I think they're going to have one of their biggest money spinners of all time. They're going to kill him. They're going to kill him so they can't use him again in any more movies.
I understand why they killed Robert Downey Jr. and like Chris Evans sort of. Because like they've done a million movies.
Done a million movies, yeah.
But Tom Holland
he's
committed
movies.
To it.
He's barely done 100 movies. He did Spider-Man's.
Yep.
He did Uncharted. He did that Mind Snake one.
Yep.
He did the one where he's got to rob some banks or whatever.
Yep. He did the one where he's in a big flood with his mum.
Mum Flood. Mum Flood the movie.
He's busy.
Yeah.
He probably did a musical.
Yeah, he did that dance. The
Rihanna the
dance
umbrella
thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that a full movie?
Yeah, it was a full movie. Yeah.
No, I missed that one.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it wasn't, but then I cut it together and I sell it like on street corners on a DVD.
A DVD or a VCD?
I mean, whatever I can get, whatever's cheapest that week and I can burn.
Sure.
But
speaking of Spider-Man, there was a couple of images released just kind of close to when we recorded this. They must be gearing up for a trailer either this week or next week so we can scream at the Eternals, I'd imagine. It shows Spider-Man versus Dr. Octopus on the bridge and Doc Ock's like chasing him down like, I'm going to get you.
Yeah.
Just kill that man.
Hope this doesn't get turned into a meme.
Kill that man.
I wonder what we're going to be labelled as for the next 6 months.
I don't reckon those arms are like that attached to him. I reckon you could tear him right out of him. Yeah. You jump through him.
I think they're not that attached to him emotionally.
I agree too.
They're like, we're going to separate your arms and they're like, whatever, we could take it or leave
If you jump through the middle of him, I reckon you just cut like they clean, like detach. You know what I mean? If you just hit him.
I think his spine would come out.
Yeah,
his body would remain.
Doesn't matter.
Mm,
I'd be like, this dude's from another dimension. Does this count if I kill him? Does that count? I'd be a murderer on that dimension, but not in this dimension, right?
Yeah,
but I'm not going to go to that dimension because I'll go to jail.
I'd straight up kill him and I'd be like, check his social security number, but it doesn't exist. Checkmate, idiots.
Yeah.
I'm Spider-Man. You can't send me to jail. I'll kill all of you.
I got a kill mode.
I'll kick you through that portal to another dimension where you don't exist really and I'll kill you in that dimension. And then the cops in that dimension won't be able to do nothing.
I could fall asleep and switch on kill mode.
Yeah.
It'll kill everybody here.
Yeah. Technically not my fault.
Yeah.
Take it up with the Stark Corporation. Take it up with Stark Industries. I don't care.
What I think is happening here, though, is running.
They'll just pay a fine. That means it's legal for the rich. What do you think about that?
I think Doc Ock tears off his arms.
His own arms.
The extra Spider-Man extra arms.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Because he wouldn't. Why is he running?
Yeah, yeah.
Because you'd see that as Spider-Man and go, that's not a problem.
Mm.
This regular man.
Exactly. Just punch the regular man. Punch his spine right out.
Anyway, John Watts, though, has said that this movie, it's basically Spider-Man Endgame.
Oh.
He could die in this one, is my point.
Definitely. Maybe he will. I mean, you know what? Miles Morales, they could replace him.
It's too early.
I know it is.
I think they could kill him just to bring him back in the next movie. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Or he has a heart attack and they bring him back. And people are like, well, he technically died in that movie or whatever. Sure. Shut up if that happens. I know. Just shut up about it.
Mm.
My point is he's definitely not done. They've got him. Sony have got him for the next 40 years.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
In the next 40 years, he's just on salary. they just put him in whatever movie they need that week.
Yeah.
Plug him in.
That's how you do it.
Mm-hmm. With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found. That project manager I could never seem to hire? And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
It's finally time to talk about Dune 2021.
Dune? Or is it Dune? I said it the same way both times.
But that's a good joke too.
Mm-hmm. I think so as well, joke, yeah. I've subverted expectations right there.
Like the movie Dune?
Nope.
It was where it was at, was it?
I mean, I liked it a lot, but, it's big and epic. I'm saying this like it's a negative, but it's like, you know.
No, I'm with you.
I think it gave us exactly what we're expecting, which is a big, a movie of huge scope that looks great.
Yep.
Good performances.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk box office, though. Okay. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. And we will talk about the sequel that is absolutely necessary to this movie.
Is that a spoiler, James?
I mean,
it opens with at this point. Dune Part One.
Yeah,
so I think they learned from previous big epic movies directed Denis Villeneuve.
Yep,
it was like I remember when some big time epic movies came out, and then it went end of Part One right at the end, and people were like, "What?
What? You've tricked me,
right?
And
here,
I'll never see a movie again.
This gives,
you have robbed me.
This gives people the option
of
to
trust.
Leave." right up top and be like, I want my money back.
Yeah.
I'll not sit through another 2.5 hours of this.
Speaking of money, US box office this weekend, as we mentioned, has already been out in fancy Europe. It's going to make between 30 and 35 million, which is pretty good considering they also dumped it on streaming early and it leaked, which makes me think, is this a deliberate sabotage?
Maybe,
because this movie costs so much. It also, at this point, raised about 70 million the world over.
For charity.
I think. Something like that, yeah. I think it's about 130 million in total it will have made.
How much did it cost?
probably 200 million, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
I don't actually know. Mm-hmm. Don't have the numbers in front of me. How much is sand? What do you think?
Well, I mean, you know, they would have
saved. You got to put some glittery things in it as
well. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But they would have saved a lot on like.
165 million. That's a lie.
You know
no
how,
way.
Like, yeah. They would have saved a lot on like that sea salt spray you put in your hair.
Oh, yeah.
Because everybody would have had, they wouldn't have needed it.
It's a good point.
If you like Timothy Chalamet, he wouldn't have needed that for his waves in his hair, but he doesn't need it.
He's where it's at.
Because he's in the salty sands.
What I love about this is I go into it, I see a movie, and I say to myself, what do I think the story was?
Oh, James.
But luckily I have somebody to answer that question. Here we go. Dune Part 1.
All right, here we go. All right. There's a planet called Dune. Just kidding. It's called the planet Ararakis.
Ararakis?
What's interesting?
Is that like
it's called Ararat. It's like Ararat. This takes place.
What would they call a town Ararat?
I don't know.
Real town in Victoria, by
this
the
takes,
way.
This place takes place in the town of Ararat.
Yep.
It's very arid. Mm-hmm. Hence the name. Also, what I do have to get used to with this movie is a lot of the things are not pronounced the way I've pronounced them in my head for a really long time. Also, not pronounced the way they are in other forms of Dune-based media.
Wow.
For example, Dune.
Which Dunes have you seen prior to this?
I've seen the 84 movie.
Yep, I don't think I have.
I've seen very little of the...
the miniseries?
Miniseries with James McAvoy.
Dune and then Sons of Dune.
Yeah, and I've played the real-time strategy game.
Oh, we know, Mason. You don't need to bring that up every time. Yeah. You do, actually.
And I read the book. I read the first novel when I was in high school. Part one and two.
What?
But it was quite a slog and I'd forgotten almost all of it. But in watching this movie... I felt I'm like, oh, I remember all the concepts here.
Yeah.
I wonder if going into this, had I not read it many years ago, I would have been very confused.
That's but a great question. Not.
But anyway, the plot is we're in the planet Ararat and that's where you get the spice. Everybody loves the spice.
Yeah, man.
They need it in their lattes and so forth.
Typical millennials,
and
but go on.
And space travel also. You need that's why true, you need that spice. And there's a
maybe if you didn't put so much spice in your spaceships, you'd be able to afford a house. Is what
that's
I'm
exactly
saying.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you
got to
cut out the little things in your life, like interstellar travel.
Dune 2, avocado toast.
anyway, so go on. So there's a big planet.
There's
full
a big
of
planet
fuel.
Full of spice, and it used to be this planet of a big bald weirdos called the Harkonnen.
Yeah.
They used to harvest the spice for the Emperor. And then they got big, big rich.
I think you could also make the comparison between the Hellgast and the Killzone video game. Some people might be like, I'm not familiar with Dune, but I've played all the Killzone games.
Oh,
so I'm just here for those people. That's me, by the way.
Did they play any of the Killzone games on the PlayStation Vita?
Well, look, that's a great first-person shooter called Killzone Mercenary.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
it's
mm-hmm.
one of the best handheld first-person shooters you can get. But anyway, go on.
Anyway, they got big time rich off it.
Yeah.
But then the Emperor's like... Get off planet Dune.
Go to bed.
We don't want you on planet Dune anymore. You're all hopped up on spice.
Yeah.
You're running around. You're having tantrums. I don't like it. Go to bed. We're going to bring in House Atreides and they're gonna go in there and they're going to sort out the spice.
They've also got a good look to them. You know what I mean? They don't look so aggressive.
They don't look so weird.
You're all aggressively
weird and bald.
Bald weirdos with your weird like black gooey armor and whatever's going on. And your bars filled with oil and your weird light-up spines.
That's right.
We don't
they're
like
normal.
You. Yeah.
Just some normal people.
Yeah. Handsome too.
Normal names. Paul.
Yep.
Good normal name.
Duncan.
Duncan. Good name. Like the liquor store you might have in Ararat, Duncan's.
Duncan, that's right.
That's what it's named after, the character from Dune.
Yeah, it's Duncan's, if you don't know. It's like you said, it's a liquor store and the And the logo is a man crossing his arms. He's looking at you like, you're a drunk, get in here.
Right.
Fucking get in
here. Yeah, no judgment over here. I'm also a drunk. I don't care, I don't mind. But anyway, Paul.
Yeah.
Paul is the son of Duke Atreides.
Yep.
And he's like, I'm gonna go to Dune. It's
yeah.
sick.
So,
I've been having dreams about Dune.
Yeah.
What's gonna happen? Are these dreams gonna come true on Dune? Am I gonna get a kiss from a girl?
I'm excited.
Is there going to be violence and intrigue and murder?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully the kisses, I reckon.
And so he does go to the planet Dune.
It's the planet Dune.
And he's like, this is interesting. This is an interesting time.
This is sandier than I thought it would be, to be honest. got sand in my crevices.
Can I have some water? Can I have a cup of water?
Yeah.
I thought it was just one dune. I didn't realize the whole thing was a dune.
I turned the taps on. To get some water, I wanted to run, you know, run
just
it a
run
bit.
Run it till it's hot. Till it's cold.
Till it's cold, but then everybody got mad at me. They said he used 100 years worth of water just now. I didn't understand it.
Anyway, for me,
yes.
I'm not an expert on Dune. I've poured all my time into anime. People know that.
Yes, that's true.
So a lot of this is new and yeah. new concepts. Obviously, they've also been recycled in everything since then.
Well, it's very interesting. Yeah. I feel like even some of the items in this movie are very deliberate. They're nods to, say, a Star Wars, but also they seem almost there as bait for people to go, looks like you ripped off Star Wars here.
Yeah.
And then another group of nerds to be like, I think you'll find that Star Wars ripped off Dune.
Whoa.
Like there's the big sandcrawler
yeah.
shaped devices that people will be like, Jawas much. So that just happened.
Mm. Also yeah. sand, you know, Star yeah, Wars sand, and yeah. sand. But I didn't, like, there were things in this where I'm like, I feel like there's more context to this that I don't have, mm-hmm. but I get it.
Yeah.
And as someone who, again, doesn't know anything about Dune, I thoroughly enjoyed this. I yep. thought it was terrific. Also, I had to watch it at home, but I laptoped and phoned away.
Same.
Which really helped yep. me out on this. Because I think if I had watched this with like mm-hmm. one eye, like I normally watch most things,
yep.
I wish I had have seen this in cinemas.
Quite I'll probably often, see it on IMAX yeah, when it comes out here.
Often I'm like, I don't care, I don't need to see it and whatever.
Yep.
But this... I feel like even the sound design and everything and just watching it on a TV. Yep.
I did phone off, yep. lights out, shutters down, bowl of popcorn.
Go to bed, have a nap.
That's right. Lay the popcorn next to me. Just drift off to that beautiful buttery aroma. But, yeah, I think you're right. Like it does – what I think it does a really good job of it. I mean, it had to strip out, you know, obviously hundreds of pages of this of the original novel and like –
but it's still half the book.
Yeah, but it's very good at it's sort of stripped a lot of the plot down to like the bare bones of what the book is.
Yeah.
But it's very good at not making you go, oh, they've cut this down to nothing. Like,
yeah.
you know, something that would get a full chapter gets a couple of lines of sure. dialogue or whatever. But you don't go, oh, well, now it doesn't make any sense kind of thing. I think.
Apparently Denis Villeneuve also wanted to, like, not put in, an inner monologue, which you could yep. easily go and go, like, I'm from this family and, you know, in this world, this is how everything works and whatever, mm-hmm. which, fine, that can work. But yeah, there's a lot of implied stuff which goes on sure. here, which I much preferred because you kind of – it's kind of – it's like a – it sounds ridiculous. I sound like a – wanker, but it's like experience the world, you know what I mean? As opposed to like them telling you what it is.
Like an Avatar.
Like exactly like the movie Avatar, The Last Airbender. Mm. It's a good movie. The live action one.
Mm.
But like, but there was still some things that I'm like a little unsure of.
Okay.
Like, so this is a minor spoiler, but we'll do spoilers later, but there's a galactic emperor of sorts
yes.
that we don't see.
Correct.
Who's for some reason pitting these two houses against each other.
Yes.
And like I have like an idea of what that's probably like the means to an end and whatever, but they don't – like there's things I'm like, I bet that's explained a lot more in the book.
Sure, yes.
You know what I mean? And things like that. And I'm thinking I might read this boring book that everybody loves
Whoa.
But also says is boring. And by that I mean listen sure. to it on audiobook.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So I can get the soundscapes. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, sure.
They're going to put soundscapes in the book, right?
Yeah, like sand and crabs and stuff.
That's all I need, mate.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all I need. Great cast.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's really good in it. Timothée Chalamet, Zendaya, Rebecca Ferguson, who I didn't know was in this, and also gets a lot of play as like – what I thought was good about this is like this is a dude just hanging out with his mum.
Sure.
You don't really see that. I thought that was like a cool pairing that they
yeah,
did.
Yeah, right.
And she's
yeah.
a witch or something, and he's like, I hate prophecies, but I'm having so many.
David Dasmalchian's in this for a minute. Yeah.
Looking good. Actually,
Weird
no.
bald.
He looks terrible in this,
awful.
But I think that's the point. Oscar Isaacs and Stellan Skarsgård as the guy who
he's looking great. Just kidding. Weird and bald.
Well, it's not just that. There's like a slovenly nature to him and he's got.
He's a real Jabba the Hutt.
Yeah, he is a bit like that, isn't he?
Mm.
And he's got a super powered spine and he can fly and stuff and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he's super strength, maybe? I don't know. But, the makeup on him, my God.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Very impressive.
And I just remember because I've seen like – I think I've watched reviews of the 84 one where like it's just a man covered in boils, just like, bleh, you know what I mean? It's like
sure.
there's nothing intimidating about that guy. But this, like him,
yeah,
very spooky and strange and I don't like him, which I think was the point, I think. I don't think he's the main character. I'm pretty confident. But again,
to some, he's the main character. There's some people out there going, God, come on, Harkonnens, yeah. here we go.
It's big, though, as well.
It's big.
It's big and it's bold, and people are like, this is what you should do. No CGI, real things. It seems like a lot of this is actually CGI, actually.
Oh, yeah.
When you look at it. When you look at all those flying ships.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It makes me go, hmm.
The sandworm. The sandworm.
I know they did build like a real thopter.
Yeah. And they cloned the little sand rats.
Did they?
Yeah, they're real. They made them.
Like, they look like a real
marsupial. They created life. Yeah. They created life for this movie.
They killed them all, right?
Yeah.
You can't have them getting out.
Yeah, yeah, no, they flamethrower. They killed them all with a flamethrower.
Good. But like, there's so much. Like, there's, like, big stone rooms and, like, odd military craft and, like, clothing and armor, but it's really, like, shaped in interesting ways.
I wonder, and I should have looked this up beforehand, but does Denis Villeneuve have the same production designer for all his movies? Because I felt like, especially because they have the
like a Blade Runner.
Yeah, like aesthetic. The Blade Runner. Yeah. There was the ornithopters, which are the sort of the insect-like helicopters that they use on this planet. Like, especially the interiors felt very similar to, like, the hover car situations in Blade Runner 2049,
Dave
Bautista is also in this.
That's true.
Weird and bald.
He's loving life. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think there's a key element of this is there's a prophecy of somebody who's going to like save or destroy the universe.
more the save part, yes.
Yeah, but somewhere in between. But maybe he's just going to like scorched earth everything that came before. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And I feel like it's interesting that they're basically Timothée Chalamet's mother. Has like forced this prophecy like into action or trying to create this boy like intentionally. And he's like, why did you do this?
Sure, right. Yeah,
you know, and I think that's a really interesting idea of not like, oh, he was chosen and whatever. And, you know, it just happened by the will of the gods or whatever. She's like, no, I did this because.
Well, so the sect that she belongs to, the Bene Gesserit, they want to create this being. And so their plan was originally. That they have sort of
they have a few on the fire. Don't they?
They got a bunch of plans on the boil. So their plan for like the last hundreds of years was to manipulate the two big houses to produce. Each one was going to produce the precursor to this.
Yeah,
like this being. So Harkonnen was going to have a prince.
Yeah,
and Atreides was going to have a princess or a female.
Mm.
And then they were gonna get them together and was going to join the two houses. And then they were going to have this. Superior being that was going to save the universe.
Yeah.
But she, instead of having a daughter, she decides to have a son, which apparently you can do in the year 10,000.
Cool.
And that ruined everything.
Oh, no.
Yeah, right?
Who was she supposed to kiss? Dave Bautista, nephew.
Yeah, Dave Bautista, nephew.
It's a good outcome, I think.
Yeah, right?
You could still go with that, I reckon.
Yeah.
Just make it work. You can make it work.
Yeah.
But I love what I loved about this is like, and also I love that prophecy also, it's implied that maybe this is bad what we've done. Sure. You know? And I'm sure
maybe it's crook what we've done here. Yeah.
But I thought that was cool. And I love the weird little details like the sand walking to avoid the big sand worms.
I was gonna say
that odd little shuffle that you do.
Another thing that Dune influenced, of course, was Monty Python's Ministry of Silly Walks.
Like that weird box of pain you put your hand in and makes you think you're on fire and in pain or whatever. And you can mind control people with your voice. And there's a poop suit. And by that I mean a suit that you wear that it takes everything that your body expresses and recycles it so you can drink it.
I don't know if the poop is part of
it. I looked it up. It's part of it. You can poop in that suit, Mason.
Wow. Okay, wow.
That's what they should call it, the poop suit, because I think that's the key thing. Mm. Don't you think? That's the main element of that suit.
I don't think so, no.
That would be the most work that would have to go into the poop part of it, I reckon.
I guess probably, yeah.
Is what I'm saying.
I think it probably just has one of those old school like night dress hatches on the back.
Oh, okay. No, they said a thimble. It wastes a thimble of liquid every day.
Yeah, right.
So it's recycling poop. It's a poop suit.
Terrific.
Looks good, that poop suit, though. It looks like it's made of tires or something.
Yeah, sure. Cool.
Good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Should we do some spoilers?
I guess so. What else can we? It looks great as.
Why does it?
I feel like there's not as I feel like the visuals, even though this is much bigger in scope, I sort of feel like maybe there, and maybe it'll take me to see it in IMAX to make this decision. But I feel like there wasn't as many kind of incredible visuals as say Blade Runner 2049.
Okay.
I'm thinking specifically of the desert scene where they go out into that sort of, And I mean, in the desert, every scene in Dune is a desert scene. But the desert scene in Blade Runner 2049 when the entire world is orange, basically. You know?
Yeah.
I think maybe it's because there's...
Well, there's not really supposed to be anything out there.
Yeah, like maybe it's because like...
Or it's hidden.
Blade Runner 2049 maybe feels just more of a world of contrasts.
Yeah.
Because we had that desert sequence and then we have this, you know, the city scenes and like the, you know, we go out into that weird agricultural farming zone and all that sort of stuff. And they feel like very distinct, whereas Dune is more just kind of all desert all the time.
Yeah.
But still looked really nice.
Yeah, the good sand dunes. And that big worm when it's coming up.
Sure.
Because that's a silly looking worm. Mm. Like in prior things that I've seen.
Yeah, yeah.
Just a man standing on top of it, just like running like it's a horse.
And it's going.
Yeah. And he's like, whoa there.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa, we're on the planet Dune. Take it easy. That's right. Take it easy.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's just do some spoilers.
Okay, I was going to say, I think I saw somebody on Twitter say, one of the strengths of this movie is it just lets Jason Momoa be Jason Momoa. Like you get a 100%. Good, if you want to get a good performance out of Jason Momoa, or like just you just go on set and you just watch Jason Momoa be himself, and most directors
he's just like he's always running in and picking you up or something.
And most directors are just like, no, let's just go with that. Actually, yeah. I think that's good.
He's good.
Yeah.
Apparently, I remember reading an interview for him. He went to the director. He was like, "Do I need abs for this or whatever?" And he's like, "Nah, whatever." Okay, so you can see in this, and I don't mean this as like as a bad way. He's like shaved the beard. And he's just like
a normal man.
He's a normal man. I think that totally works for that character as well. He's just like, "Yeah, I'm just a knockabout dude. Yeah. I'm Han Solo. I'm actually based off Han Solo." He says,
"I'm pooping in this suit." He says,
"Yeah,
and I'm loving it.
I'm loving how much poop I'm getting in this suit. I'm not even recycling it. I'm just storing it up like a dirty nappy."
Oh, dear.
Anyway, best movie
spoilers,
ever.
Spoilers, yeah, I'd say best movie ever. It's good fun time. I'm looking forward to seeing it in IMAX.
It's slow, I guess, if you're like.
It's 2.5-ish hours.
Yeah, and it's quite. Hours,
yeah.
I also watched it over 2 nights. Okay. So to me, it felt like a bit like a mini series. And when it ended, I'm like, I'm going to have to wait 4 years if they make another one of these.
if they make another one.
Which we'll talk about. Anyway, so I guess one of the things up top is it's a betrayal. It's a big betrayal on Planet Dune.
It is. Betrayal on Planet Dune.
So the Emperor did this because he wants to get rid of, I presumably because this is the prophecy and whatever. So he's like, if I kill these dudes, then they're not going to send an heir to come and kill me or whatever. Is that part of it, I assume?
I'd say so, yeah.
I don't know. I'm guessing. I haven't seen the second part of Dune because I haven't made it.
Yeah, but also I think just because, it's that. And I think just because, you know, people see House Atreides as kind of like this, they're the golden boy kind of thing.
Who is this Emperor person though?
I think he's just
is he magic or something?
No, he's just regular.
He's just regular.
Yeah, yeah.
Does he float? He's got a floating spine or whatever?
No, I don't think so. He's just regular as far as I can remember.
Is he old? Is he young? Does he have a kid?
I think he might be, because I think also Warhammer 40,000 is also heavily based on some of the elements of Dune. So I think he might be in like one of those golden sarcophagus kind of things.
Yeah, sick.
I'm going to look it up real quick.
So he's like old?
Yeah.
And he's in a golden sarcophagus?
I'm guessing probably.
God, that'd suck. I mean, it's gold, but, like, who cares?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'd rather – give me the spine. Give me the magic floating spine that stops me from getting poisoned because I can float up to the roof like a bat or something.
Let's see. The Emperor is the title of the hereditary rulers of the Imperium
in
the known universe.
Oh, yeah. That's interesting.
Okay. The title of Padishah Emperor was taken by the head of House Corino after the Battle of Corrin.
Oh, I remember
that
one.
It was used by the head of that house for more than 10,000 years. Okay.
All right. Okay. So it's a big armor, is it?
No, he just has a throne.
Great.
Yeah.
They're going
to
give him a weird...
It looks to me like
they're going
to
give him a weird thing?
Looks just like a regular guy, to be honest.
How old?
Regular age.
Regular age?
But here's the thing, though. The spice also, it increases your lifespan, so maybe he's quite old.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. They didn't say that in the movie, Dune.
No, they didn't. That's true. Yep.
I just caught the blue-eyed thing. Mm. And maybe it's a hallucinogen or something. Great stuff. So Oscar Isaac gets murdered, but in the process of being murdered, he's given a gas tooth.
The current emperor has been the emperor for like 70 years.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
But not crazy
old. Yeah.
Okay, good. Sorry, as I was saying, Oscar Isaac is betrayed, but he's given a murder tooth.
Yeah.
And he's like, gotcha.
Yeah.
It's not bad breath, it's poison.
Yeah, nice.
Gotcha. Just to be clear. Because you're dying. I don't want you to think you're dying because of my bad breath. I have excellent dental hygiene. That was good. Jason Momoa is dead as well, though
he's
might
gonna,
come
he's
back
back
as a different thing.
Yeah.
I read a bit ahead.
Yeah, Duncan Idaho.
Is a clone or something.
Repeatedly, yeah.
Is
they
he
keep
like
bringing him back.
But has he got his memories?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, so he's not as jovial?
I think he keeps his memories up until the cloning.
Oh, okay.
So he'll have
some of them.
Yeah,
so he might not have all his Dune memories.
That's right.
Great. So he didn't remember the movie Dune.
No.
Okay. Yeah, I loved the bit where, you know, so the doctor who betrayed House Atreides.
Doctor Who?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Who has like the diamond on his head and whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like touching people and being like, you got bad vibes. He's one of those doctors, I think. You know,
a real Doctor Bad Vibes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I just totally saw this coming when he's like, you said that you'd free my wife if I betrayed the house or whatever. And he's like, I said I'd set your wife free. I would have like,
yeah, I would have
would have said that to me initially, yeah. And I would have been like, I want you to specifically say you're not going to
your
wife and you then have kill, to do kill it, my
if,
wife.
If
and
you
want
to make one of these agreements, you have to use Wishmaster rules. You have to be like, I would like you to release my wife unharmed.
Yeah. Oh, unarmed, you say?
No.
I mean, he would have killed him anyway.
Yeah.
Regardless of the wording.
Yeah. Oh, he does recover his memories.
Oh, there you go.
Eventually.
Great.
Yeah. I didn't read that book.
Which one was it?
Anything after the first one.
Wow.
Yeah.
How many are there? 100,
no, there's
says.
Not that many.
He wrote the word 100
no,
in
didn't.
The air.
No.
But not like 100. He wrote 100 in full.
There's not that many.
No, he's underlining
it. No, stop it. Also, Frank Herbert, who wrote the original, he wrote a few, and then I think his son wrote some sequels after he died.
They still doing them?
I don't think so.
They still duning them?
No,
I meant
not,
to say.
They're not still duning them, no.
Okay, interesting. No. Yeah.
They're Dune with the whole thing.
Are they?
Yeah.
Is it one in Dune?
It's one in Dune.
As the saying goes.
Yeah, that's right.
What else, Mason? So there's a stab fight at the end.
It sure is.
And then you can ride a worm.
Have you seen the original, like the 80s version of
not really.
That force field?
Yeah, I had that box, yeah.
Yeah, I don't mind it as a design.
The 80s
like, I only saw it fairly recently.
Yeah, no, I think it's an interesting concept. Mm-hmm. I also think those force fields do jack shit. I'm like, how come you can sometimes stab with these and sometimes you can't?
Yeah, that's a great
question.
Do you
get close and then slowly stab
someone? Let's look it up, James. Let's look up Dune force fields.
That seems to be the case.
Yeah.
I'd just go full force field.
Well, I think that the I suspect the original idea behind it is, and the reason none of them seem to have any guns,
yeah,
is the idea was explain why they're always sword fighting,
yeah,
and the reason would be okay. Well, everybody has a personal force field that deflects bullets and lasers and whatever,
or you can fire like a weird bug bullet.
You can fire a bug bullet if you
want. Why doesn't everyone just fire bug bullets?
Well, because your shield would stop a bug bullet.
But
that's
it
why
doesn't.
No, but that's why Paul goes to his.
Yeah.
That's why he goes to grab his force field.
Wasn't Oscar Isaac wearing a bug bullet when he got shot?
Yes.
But it kind of drilled into him for
a
while.
And that was a Dartmoor. Yeah. That was like a... Okay.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. Anyway, what do we got here on these force fields? What are they called? I bet they got a dumb name.
Sometimes they're called Holtzman Shields.
Oh, yeah. That's actually not a dumb name.
I'm assuming named after the character from Ghostbusters reboot.
No? Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Not after Harold Holt, the...
The former prime minister.
Who drowned because he wasn't wearing a force field.
Wasn't wearing a force field and hence they invented the force field.
Interesting.
That's why all Australians have force fields now.
I think he was wearing one but the water got in and filled up his force field.
Oh my God, if he wasn't wearing that force field, he wouldn't have drowned. He drowned in 1 inch of force field water.
We just love laughing about that prime minister who drowned, disappeared and they never found
James,
the body.
I would laugh about any prime minister who drowned. anyone at all.
Go on, sorry.
Okay, all right. So the shield is produced by a Holtzman generator named after Harold Holt. Yep. Something. Shields can be calibrated to permit the passage of matter below given speeds.
Okay.
This is vital in personal defense shields, as one would suffocate within a shield that did not emit atmospheric gases. Okay, right.
That
totally
makes sense.
Okay. Depending on the shield setting, the object speed while passing through the shield would range from 6 to 9 centimeters per second.
Mm.
Shield could also be set to cover either the left or right side of a person if the specific need for it arose.
Oh, if it was like a super strong thing coming in hot.
Yeah. Such a practice, everybody's wearing the shield, such a practice made the use of projectile weapons and thrown blades partly obsolete. Okay,
that makes
right.
sense to me.
Yeah.
Cool, because you do need a reason for like, why doesn't everyone have guns?
Yeah. The only effect, this is about the books, but the only effective combat method was the deft use and careful precision of a handheld dagger if moved slowly enough.
Yeah, okay.
New styles of fencing and knife fighting were developed to take advantage of this one small vulnerability.
Yeah,
so I guess what they're doing is
they're getting
like,
close and then they slowly
close.
Stab.
Yeah.
But you can do it in like a swift maneuver.
Yes.
Because Jason Momoa's doing a shit ton of that, isn't he?
He sure is, yeah.
God, that guy, just going in red hot, you know what I mean?
No, I know it.
Yeah, good stuff.
Mm.
They have a bit of a stab fight at the end, don't they?
It seems to be if you shoot somebody with a force field with a laser, just everything explodes.
Oh.
So it's a bad time for everything.
Everything in the room?
Yeah, everything in the room.
Including the person wearing the force field?
It just says here, using las guns in a shielded environment results in military and environmental catastrophe.
Sick, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
I'd do that.
Plus you can't use them on Dune because of the sandworms, obviously.
The what?
You can't use them outside because of the sandworms.
But if you live, but if you can stand on a rock and do it.
You could stand on a rock, I guess. Yeah.
Seems like people just can do that. You stand on a rock and that worm's not coming.
God, I would last 1 second on the planet June because I'd forget all the rules.
Yeah.
I'd be like, can I use a shield outside or not outside? Or can I? What about this different types of sand? I wouldn't recognize the correct types of sand.
That's true. There were different types of sand.
Mm.
So yeah, so it culminates in just in a sword fight.
Yes,
where they're like, Timothée Chalamet, you're fucked, mate. You're gonna get stabbed, and then your mum's gonna cry, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But he's coming in with his own moves.
That's right.
But he'd never killed a man before.
Yeah.
Then he was like, you know what? I think it's time. It's time to kill this man in particular.
That's right.
Because of honor or something.
Time to lose my M plates. M stands for murder.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It's hot stuff.
That's right.
And then he looks at someone riding a worm and he goes, ooh, this is going to be a good sequel for me, I reckon.
Yeah.
Ooh. Coming up next, everybody. Stay tuned.
Ooh.
today is in it for like 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. She's barely mostly silently.
Mostly silently.
I thought it was interesting that Paul's.
Yeah.
His visions are not necessarily accurate.
Yes.
They're thematically accurate maybe.
Sure, okay.
But they're
Or it's like potential futures even, some of them.
Yeah, maybe, but they're never literally accurate. Like he meets the guy he kills in the duel,
yeah.
He first sees in his vision where the guy's like, oh, we're going to be good friends and I'm going to teach you some cool lessons or whatever. And then he murders the guy. So technically he has taught him a lesson.
I thought that maybe could have been seeing it through a different person's eyes.
Oh, maybe Zendaya's eyes.
Yeah, but I don't know. Eyes. I honestly don't know. Mm. Yeah. But yeah, I guess that's why he was reluctant to kill that dude.
Yeah.
Maybe he comes back as a clone man.
Maybe.
Or he's just nobody and whatever.
Yeah, that's right.
And what's his name's in it? The leader of the sand people or whatever. What's his name?
Don't know.
He's spitting on tables.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Javier Bardem.
Yeah. Is Josh Brolin dead? Did he die?
The actor?
Yeah.
No, he's still alive.
In this movie, did he die?
I don't think we see him die.
Mm.
Or maybe we do. Maybe there's a very – maybe my brain has decided even if I put my phone down and pay full attention to a movie, it's going to black me out every – couple of minutes, so I missed something important.
You might actually be right. Yeah. Like the full disclosure, I was on my phone the whole time. No,
I learned this week that if you hold your phone in a certain way, you're putting intense pressure on your ulnar nerve in your arm.
Oh yeah.
So now I'm really conscious about it. If you put your little pinky finger under your phone like this,
it's a better way to do it, is it?
No, that's the wrong way to do it. This is what I do.
I don't know. Hold it like this. Wait, I'm not holding my phone with my little finger.
Yeah.
Is that fine?
No, that should be fine. What you're doing is fine.
Oh, maybe I am doing it.
I can
do it like this too.
Yeah.
Maybe I hold it like this.
Yeah, hold it the most awkward way. Yeah, like that, above your head. Yeah.
I'm doing a strongman pose.
Yes. Yeah. So continue to do what you always do, strongman poses.
How do I hold a phone? I don't know. Now you got me thinking.
See?
Text me during the week and say, when you're reading this, how are you holding your phone?
Oh.
And then I'll know. Nice. You get me.
But that might be the straw that breaks the camel's back. You pick up your phone and you're like, how am I holding the my ulnar nerve? Crying, your arms
crumble into a ball.
Your arm splinters into fragments.
Yeah. So anyway, they should have definitely filmed two of these together at the same time.
Yep.
That would have cut costs immeasurably. They're going to have to fly everybody out to the desert again.
They're going to have to put the sand back.
They're going to have to rake it all back.
Yeah.
Push it all out there.
With those big rakes from...
Spaceballs.
Spaceballs, thank you. The big combs.
Yeah. So that's a big mistake, I feel, if they are going forward with this because...
They must do, sure.
Warner Media CEO Ann Sarnoff said, will we have a sequel to Dune? If you watch the movie, you will see how it ends. I think you pretty much know the answer to that. And also the director has said it's going to be all-out action. Which I think it has to be from what I remember of seeing a review of the Dune from 84.
Mm-hmm.
Just people doing all sorts of sandworm shit or whatever.
Yeah, and just nude knife fights and stuff.
Is there a nude knife fight in it?
I mean, it's nude-ish.
Who's Sting?
He's a famous musician.
Is it Dave?
He's one of the suspects in the TV series Only Murders in the Building.
Oh, yeah. Is he the Dave Bautista character?
Yes.
The nephew?
Yes.
Sexy Sting?
Yeah, I'd have to check.
Is that why Dave Bautista is credited as Sexy Sting?
That's exactly right, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good.
Dave Bautista has a lot of crinkles on the top of his head.
Disagree.
Like creases in his head.
I think he's very smooth. Intensely smooth man.
I'll tell you. I don't know, maybe it was a makeup effect in this movie.
No, Sting is a different guy.
Then
maybe he is. Hang on. He's Fred Rauther.
Okay.
Is that Dave Bautista's character's name, though?
I don't. Oh, let me check the Dune cast.
Please do.
He plays Glossu rap something.
Oh, glossy rap something.
Yeah. So who's Sting? And the new one, who's Sting?
Oh, who's playing the Sting character? Yeah. I don't know. I don't know.
He's a nude man or whatever.
Mm.
All right, let me check. Fade.
You know, has the Josh Brolin role in the original?
Yeah.
Patrick Stewart.
Oh, yeah, I did know that actually. Who is Fade? Is the nephew of. It says Fade was the young nephew of Baron, whatever.
Oh, then he is.
But that's what he was. But is he in Dune? He's not shown or even mentioned in Dune 2021.
Oh.
This covers the first half of the book where he's only a minor role. So he's going to come into the next movie.
So they're going to get Sting probably.
They have to get Sting.
They're going to get Sting.
They have to get Sting. They can't get Sting, gunpoint. You got to get Sting at gunpoint.
That's
I'm sorry.
Yeah. You signed a contract many years ago, Sting.
Yeah.
You're in this for life.
Anyway, you also saw an article from a website that's like, Dune's going ahead. We've got an exclusive or whatever.
Yeah, but it was on one of those clickbait sites.
Yeah, because like you can just say
like,
that.
We've got an insider who's going to. Mm. And then if they're correct,
yeah.
Then the next time they're like, as we correctly reported, Dune's coming back. We're actually also, Dune is being cancelled.
Yes. So. I feel like, though, even if this won't make all its money back,
yes,
they're going to push ahead with it anyway. Because sometimes you just do a big epic and whatever.
That's true.
Do you know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
just be like, we make art films too. It's one of those we make art films too movies.
Yeah, right.
But I think, though, it's got the cast.
We're bringing back Zeppelins.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's got like the cast of, it seems to be like moving into the zeitgeist.
Mm, sure.
So I think if it can stay that way,
yeah.
then there's definite potential here for this to become a bigger
yeah.
thing.
Does it feel to you like it felt a little bit Game of Thrones-y in the sense that it's
totally,
like,
yeah.
okay, this is high and mighty, but also I think people, and of course it's got that Timothée Chalamet and Zendaya. And they're besties, and we are living for it.
We totally are. I know I am.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it was good. And I don't know. Yeah, I like.
Okay, great.
I like watching it.
Yeah, nice. Great.
You like watching it?
I liked watching it. Yes.
Okay. Is it time for the next segment of the show?
Yes.
What would you say that segment is called?
That segment is called What We Readin'.
Yep.
What We Gonna Read.
It's interesting that you remember the name of the segment.
I know.
It's really compelling to me.
Mm.
I'm just looking for the segment. Okay, here it is. I'm doing the thing. Westworld.
Very nice.
Bit of Westworld in this as well, I guess.
How so?
I mean, you know, in Dune.
In Dune, the movie Dune.
Yeah, it's okay, sci-fi right. or whatever.
Yeah.
Claire came in. Oh, we're still in the spoilers for Dune and then we'll move on.
Okay, terrific.
Claire came in at the end where uh-huh. they were doing the knife fight.
Yeah, yeah.
And Claire's like, is he a robot? And I'm like, we're too far into the movie Dune for me to explain why that man's wearing a poop suit.
Sure, okay.
Why he's dressed like Edward Scissorhands and fighting this man.
Yeah, yeah.
We're too close to the end. I can't tell you what's going on here.
She really jumped in right at the end there.
Yeah, because we were watching it. I was in a different room.
You know?
So anyway, what are you reading?
This week I read Superman and the Authority.
I've read that like years ago and seen the movie. Oh, wait, that's a new one. I'm thinking of the one where
you're thinking of Superman versus the Elite. This is Superman and the Authority, but they are tied together.
I bought the first one, but anyway, go on.
So this is a four-issue miniseries, which might be tied into the larger DC universe, but it might not.
Oh, wow.
I was not entirely sure for the entire run of it, but it's basically Superman. He's getting on in years. He's sort of depowered. He's losing his powers.
Are you worried about that?
I am worried about it. Mm. But he's got to get a team together.
Yeah.
That are gonna face some big time threats after he's gone. So he's gonna form together the Authority.
Yeah.
Which used to be a Image Wildstorm team.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
But then they got purchased by DC.
Yeah, right.
And it includes some of the original Authority. It includes a couple of members of the Elite, which is the team from. Back in the day.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
And it's by Grant Morrison, and they've been doing all sorts of big idea kind of stuff. It's a lot of fun. Superman's got a new suit.
What'd you think of it, though?
I liked it. Thought it was fun.
Yeah?
Superman's got a new suit.
Should I get it?
Yeah, I think you should get it, yeah.
Every now and then does he bust out some powers? He's like, I've still got it.
He's not powerless.
Yeah.
He can still lift a big weight in the Fortress of Solitude.
Is that
and
what
somebody's
doing?
Like, that's got 600, that weighs 600 billion suns. Where are you doing that?
He's like, well, I used to be 605 tons.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So should I read it?
I think you should read it.
I do have the first one.
It's only four issues. It's a bit of fun.
Four issues?
Yeah.
What am I, made of time and money?
Yeah.
No, Mason.
They call you Mr. Money Time Man. They call you the money time man.
He's calling me that. I like that.
Your suit's covered in dollar bills and clocks.
Is it?
Yeah.
I like it. I like this version of me.
Yeah.
Sounds like he knows what's going on.
And your face is a big melted pumpkin.
Why am I a pumpkin?
You made the suit, man.
Did I?
Yep.
So it's not my face.
You had unlimited money and time, and this is the best you could come up with.
I'm wearing a pumpkin.
No, it's not my face. No, you've had your face. You've had plastic surgery, so your face looks like a big melted
pumpkin.
Feels
normal. Is that like ghost face syndrome?
That's part of the surgery. You demanded that.
I don't like it as much. I liked the suit with money and clocks. Anyway. I've been playing.
Yes.
And hopefully the embargo goes up by the time
and
this
I've been watching
out.
Like yeah. A dutiful girlfriend, you playing.
The new Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
It's made by some of the people who did the Avengers game or the same studio, the bad one. It's way better. What?
You better hope you haven't broken the embargo.
Fuck it. It's bad. Everybody knows it.
The embargo or the game.
The Avengers game.
Oh,
bad.
Okay, right.
No,
okay,
this
sure.
is much better.
It is much better, yeah.
So it's single-player story-driven. There's really cool – I'm not going to spoil stuff.
Yeah.
There's really good interactions. So you play as Peter Quill.
But you've got a sort of command wheel.
Yes.
You can pick the other four members of the team and tell them to do
and
stuff.
And you can chat to them and there's like branching storylines. And, you know, you go along and then a monster comes and you all fight it together and then you go to the next thing or whatever. There's some really remarkable moments in it,
mm-hmm.
like that I was really impressed by. There's a moment where you visit Nowhere, which
the celestial head.
By the way, yeah, this is just like it's the movie,
it's
the movie version with some other comic book elements thrown in, but it's pretty much just like the movie stuff, really, which is what people know, I guess, at this point, including me. So you walk through Nowhere, but you can kind of branch out and visit different places and whatever.
Like the Nowhere gift shop.
And I just this is a very minor spoiler.
The Nowhere swimming baths.
You're going to be tricked by a big brain.
Nowhere fish and chip shop.
The fish and chip, very good.
Yes.
There's a big brain, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you do like the find the ball in a cup.
Oh yes.
You'll win the first one.
Three card Monty.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you'll think, oh, that was easy, and it's only 25 whatever currency to play again.
Uh-huh.
So I'll go again, even if I lose, I won 1,000 something, I'll go again.
Yeah, okay, sure.
I walked away, mm-hmm. but I went back because it was
Sounds
only 25.
Sensible. Oh.
Turns out that it was like, well, the stakes are higher and he took a bunch of my money and disappeared. So if you go into the brain, just go once because that brain will take your money.
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone needs to know
and then
that.
Then you won't have anything to go to the fish and chip shop.
That's right.
The Nowhere Celestial Fish and Chip Shop.
It was a big brain. I should have known. I knew, but I couldn't help myself.
Piece of grilled flake, minimum chips.
Potato cakes.
Two potato cakes, but they put a third potato cake in.
That doesn't happen as much anymore.
I know, but it's deep space.
Oh, yeah, it's different. Deep fried deep space.
That's right.
I think, though, it does get a little bit repetitive and kind of bogged down.
Well, there is an element to it. There's a gameplay element to it. Where you rally the team and they all gather around like you're the coach.
Yeah.
And they sort of, it's sort of a cutscene.
Yeah.
And it's from your first person perspective of Peter Quill. And they all gather around and then you put on some music and then you do a speech.
Do a little
and you tell
speech
them what to do. And I watched that.
And you get a little, and it plays a song and you get a little power.
But it's really long.
Yeah, it's too long.
And I'm like, am I going to have to do this? If I buy this game, am I going to have to do that 100 times?
You can
or
select
more?
It, but also I've hit it by accident a lot.
Okay, right.
Because also, as Peter Quill, you're the weakest member of the team.
Yeah.
You can't like just run in and you got to use tactics and use your team at all times. Also, and maybe this is because I've an earlier version and maybe they've fixed it all. It's glitchy as fuck.
Uh-oh.
And like not in a game-breaking way.
Right.
Except for one moment where the game broke, where I was watching. I was watching a computer monitor screen of an event that happened, what happened to a particular, I'm not going to say it. Whenever it makes sense if I do.
The big spoiler zone.
Anyway, I'm looking at the screen. And it's blank.
And your pants fell down.
My pants fell down.
In real life.
Yeah.
But then what about the game?
And I looked in the mirror and I realized I'd changed my face into a pumpkin or whatever.
Oh, no.
But I couldn't see it. So the game went forward and I'm
you had to know.
I clearly missed some information because later they're like, this thing happened. And I'm like, did it?
Here's the thing, though,
because I didn't see
you. You skip cutscenes all the time.
No.
I think
it let me, it played
this,
it.
I think this is. I think they've made this version just for you. They just don't show you any cutscenes.
It probably needed another 3 or 4 months, just to let people know it's way better than the last one. It's so much better, and it's quite fun. And I'm not quite finished, but I'm close to the end. But it probably needs some tweaking. So if you could wait, I would. But if you like the movies and you like single player campaigns, and it's mostly like, look, there's mechanically it's not doing really anything. If you play video games, you've seen all of it before.
Have you ever rerouted a power coupling?
Oh yeah, you came in at like the most boring part that I'd played in the game.
A lot of my enthusiasm ebbed for this game, having seen some of it being played. Like, and I think that's probably because I didn't start the game at the start and sort of get – if once I get into a story.
Yeah.
But if I just show up and somebody's playing a thing and it's like, use your quill vision to look at the power couplings in the wall and then connect the power.
Yeah.
Follow the power line to the power coupling. Boring. I'm like, oh, I don't want to do any of this. Do I have to do this for the whole game?
It seems like as well, like you make choices that do have actual impacts. Mm. And I think it is – the level structure is set. But I think the team members you interact with and who you fall out with and who you're friendly with are determined by your choices.
Interesting.
Yeah, I need a few playthroughs, which, you know, I might end up doing to kind of determine what's what. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's fun.
Like, is there a moment where you step out and you're like on a gantry and you look out into space and there's a lot of space and you're like, whoa, it's a good looking lot of space.
Yeah, sure.
Cool.
There are a lot of like big areas and arenas and things like that, but it is a lot of like you walk for a bit, you have a conversation, Rocket Raccoon's like, rah, 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 and I'm like, Rocket, calm down, blah, blah, blah. I'm not me. I'm not
the character. In the game.
I'm not in the game.
Okay, right.
And then you get to a room and all the doors close and bad guys pile in, you know, so it's that.
Yeah, it's that.
But it's masked like with this by being Guardians of the Galaxy.
Sure, yeah.
So that is my point.
Plus, there's all sorts of different little suits, isn't there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And they're free. You just grab them and they're there. Unless they change that in the final game, because fuck if I know. Terrible company. Thanks for the review copy. You might play it this week.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
I didn't ask for it either. You were like, you messaged me and you're like, hey, they sent us a thing. You can.
And it's like, remember to change all these settings on your PlayStation so it doesn't go public. And I'm like, I'll never change any settings ever because I don't understand. I don't even know where they are. I don't know why PlayStation set to. You can have this one.
Anyway, anything else you're reading or doing?
I finally bought Disco Elysium, so I'm going to play that. I'm going to play that this week.
Interesting.
Even though I must play Guardians of the
Galaxy. You simply must.
Simply must. So I'm going to play that on the old Switch, the old Switcheroo.
You're going to give it the old Switcheroo, are you?
Yeah.
Wow. Very good stuff. Should we move on to the next segment of the show?
Let's move on to the segment that we call.
What do we call it?
The Letters segment.
Yeah, I think
where
you're
we
right.
do letters. The classic one was Letters, oh, letters, we love you. Some letters, they're only a take away.
Can we all just agree that this is the letter segment of the show?
Can we all set aside partisan politics and agree?
Let's get behind this.
That this is the letter segment, for God's sake.
For the love of God's sake.
Yes.
Mason, we're in the letter segment of the show. If you do want to reach the show, actually, hashtag weeklyplanetpod on Twitter or weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com.
This is from Miel from Denmark.
Oh, okay.
And Miel says, hey guys, long-time listener, first-time writer. Your podcast has helped me through some tough times, and I love having something to look forward to every week. I was wondering,
much appreciated.
Thank you. Yeah, I was wondering whether Marvel Comics reboots their universe every couple of years like DC does. If not, how does Marvel bring their characters back to the status quo? Do you prefer DC's method or Marvel's?
Well, they both have their advantages.
They should. Well, what Marvel does,
yeah.
What DC does is initially every 10 years, but now it's pretty much every few months.
Every 6 to 8 months.
Every issue. There's a big event that's going to destroy the entire universe. And all the heroes get together and they save the universe. But the universe has been changed somehow. They couldn't stop it before some stuff of the universe was being changed. Usually all the weird continuity stuff that they're sick of dealing with.
Doesn't when they come together, they're like, a big new guy's happening and he's got a big chair. He sits in a big chair and he's got a big bald head and he's got
got the doom chair.
I'm actually from a dimension not a kid. We're right there. Oh,
maybe I'm Superman, but an evil Superman in the future, perhaps.
Yes.
So when Superman must sacrifice himself, otherwise a bad future.
Yes.
Unless you get a big thing from behind the wall, the big space wall.
But you can't get it. I'll stand in front of that wall. You have to go through me.
Oh, they've gone the other way. Okay, I'm done. I'm buggered.
Am I out of continuity?
Yeah, I'm out of continuity. No.
I come back in a comic as a minor threat in the future?
Yes, I will.
Wow, I love comics.
Yeah, they're good, aren't they? But what Marvel does usually is they just like, what Marvel often do is they'll have, in individual issues, they'll have a character go, I sure am in a sticky situation. It reminds me of a time when I was in a different sticky situation back at around the time of my origin as a superhero comic book character.
Yep.
And then they go. You see the flashback, and the flashback is like updated.
Yeah.
So like
yeah.
if their original origin was in the 60s, they'll update it so it was in like the 90s or whatever.
Yeah.
So instead of being in a Vietnam POW camp, they'll be in a
bin.
Yeah, they'll be in a bin.
Like Oscar the Grouch.
Exactly.
This is a sticky situation.
Outside of Starbucks or whatever. And they'll be like, oh, this is the 90s now. Okay,
I love the 90s.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're right. That's what they do.
I kind of prefer the DC. And I know you hate, because we've talked about Crisis on Infinite Earths, the major big, the first DC giant reboot that you hate, but I love because it's so dense and there's too much to it. But I love the fact that all the old stuff is still in continuity.
Yeah.
It's just in a continuity that got moved. Like it got cut off.
Yeah,
basically.
Okay, sure.
But
yeah.
It still exists. Yeah. So every once in a while DC is like, I'm the big man in the doom chair or whatever. But this time I've changed reality. So all the realities are real realities now. And look, it's all the Superman and they're all, oh no, they've all come to defeat me. I shouldn't have done this in retrospect. I shouldn't have let all the Superman out. Because one Superman couldn't have stopped me, but now all the Superman have teamed up. There's a big splash page where every Superman's coming at me, including the one that couldn't fly. What's he? How's he flying through space now?
Oh, someone's carrying him. Someone's got him by the scruff of the neck. We'll see what's going on now.
But I kind of like that they all still exist. Where the Marvel stuff, it's just like, don't think. Marvel's just like, don't think too hard.
Shut up about it.
Just shut up.
And there's also like they'll put people in another dimension and stuff as well, won't they?
Sure.
In Marvel, and that's fun. Yeah. I mean, to be fair, I probably prefer the DC version.
Yeah.
I think, but it doesn't matter. Although all I care about, and I'm sure I've said this before, is just good stories. And I don't care what continuity they exist in. It's irrelevant to me.
And sexy Venom.
Sexy Venom. Sexy Venom is priority number one.
Yeah, that's right.
Priority number two is no women.
Okay, right, sure. Okay.
Or people of color in my comic book. That's not true. I just want to clarify. That's not something I believe.
Okay.
I thought it'd be a fun joke, but I said it in a way where maybe that's not a joke.
Yeah.
Maybe people are like, is this serious?
He's holding up a sign that's saying not a joke, folks.
No. Mason, it was a joke. So, there we go. What's next, Mason?
I've got some here.
Yeah, nice. I'm just going to bring those up. Okay, what's the bloody thing? Oh, here we go. This is from Metal Eugenio. So it's hashtag Weekly Planet Pod. You can reach the show via that or weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com. Did I say that already?
Maybe.
You know, what is your favorite final fight between hero and villain in a movie?
Ooh.
I always love the T2 finale with Arnold and the gang versus the liquid metal guy.
Is that from the letter or is that your personal
opinion? That's what he says.
Okay.
Or she says, Metal Eugenio, I'm not sure.
Okay.
What do you think?
Ooh. I'm trying desperately hard to think of one that isn't a comic book movie related thing.
Or Terminator 2.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? If we're talking Terminator.
Mm-hmm.
Terminator Salvation, where he fights the cartoon Arnold.
Yeah, sure.
No, I mean, Terminator 1 is a great finale.
Sure. Yeah.
What about End of Matrix?
We
just looked at The Matrix.
Yeah, it's a pretty solid fight.
Do you like a bit where somebody's...
How about one where people talk their way out of it? How about that?
Guardians? End of First Guardians?
Yeah, nice dance-off. That's fun.
They hold hands or whatever?
Yeah, that's cool. That's that is good, yeah.
But we're not doing comic book movies, are we?
No, we can't. We're going to do real movies. What about the end of Michael Clayton where he finally gets Tilda Swinton on some sort of crime-related thing? He's like, good luck in jail, Tilda Swinton.
I haven't seen Michael Clayton.
No, I can't remember how to answer, to be honest. Is it a big battle? What are we saying?
Whatever. It says a fight between a hero and a villain.
Mm.
I always liked,
yes,
if we're doing comic book movies,
all right,
when Willem Dafoe beats the absolute tar out of Spider-Man.
Okay.
And he's just fucked.
Sure, yeah, okay.
And then I hit my mic then. And then he comes back and he's just like, just torn to shit.
Yeah,
you know
sure,
what I mean?
Okay, right.
Yeah, that's fun. But if we're talking non-comic book movies,
mm-hmm,
I can't think of any. What's a good horror one? It's nearly Spooktober.
I remember enjoying the Freddy versus Jason, like their final battle.
I guess.
Yeah.
What do you think of the fight at the end of Dune? Without spoiling it, because we're out of spoilers now.
Oh, yeah, cool. Liked it.
There we go. That's the best one. Mm-hmm. Shall I move on?
Yeah. I'll think of one next week.
Yeah.
Or immediately after we stop recording.
Cool, cool, cool.
But I still think it's Michael Clayton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about the movie Up in the Air with George Clooney, where the pilot comes down and goes, you've been in the plane a lot, haven't you?
Yeah, I've been up in the air, baby.
It's from Natty.
They fist fight.
you've got 14 million miles. Now you have to fist fight the pilot.
But if you win, you get to become a pilot.
that's movies about air miles, isn't it? But it's a metaphor or whatever.
Isn't it about firing people?
It's yeah, but it's about people. But he's also he's doing this arbitrary thing of like getting his air miles up.
Oh,
isn't he?
Yeah, okay, sure.
Anyway, so Matt Neo 27, he says, hashtag weekly platypod.
Is that up in the air? It's the one where he professionally fires people. That's his job. Yeah, okay,
is
right.
Is that going up in the air?
Yes. At the end of that movie, he has to fight the that's the final battle. He has to fire the ultimate employee, like the slacker employee who doesn't care about anything.
I think it's Sam Elliott's the pilot.
Okay,
it
right.
is George Clooney. Yeah. Yes, and Anna Kendrick and Vera Farmiga. Jason Reitman directed that.
Oh,
he's doing new Ghostbusters. I didn't know that. Okay, Matt Neo 27 says hashtag Weekly Planet Pod. The man who knows everything about anime / manga. What do you think of the Cowboys Bebop The Lost Sessions clip? We talked about that already.
Sure, we did.
But we've got another part to this. Also, is there any chance of the One Piece adaptation being good? The manga sold more copies than Batman has. And in less time, so stakes are high. Well,
I don't know what One Piece is, but I know there's a lot of issues.
He's got a straw hat and he's running in, isn't he?
I don't know. Let's find out. He's got a straw hat and he's running in, isn't he? Let me see. I'm going to go to Google image search and see. Oh, he does have a straw hat.
And he's running in.
I mean, he's more leaping in, this dude.
Whatever.
He's sort of swinging in, I think.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, is it some sort of pirate-related thing? Is he a pirate king of some sort?
I don't know.
Okay. Is it some sort of adaptation of Journey to the East or whatever it's called? Is it just that again, Journey to the West?
Interesting. Anyway, will this be good? No. Nah. So it was a TV series, apparently also.
Oh, la-di-da.
Yeah. There's 996 episodes. Well, that's just confirmed. I'm never going to watch that.
Our friend Andrew Levins, I think, has read all of them.
Has he?
He spent a summer doing it once or something.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, so here we go. In a review of the second DVD released of 4Kids Entertainment dub, Todd Douglas Jr. of DVD Talk called its adaptation a shabby treatment,
ooh,
resulting in an arguably less enjoyable rendition.
Whoa.
I said, yeah, okay. And so this is, it's good maybe. I don't know. Anyway, the One Piece earnings in April of 2003 to that between September 2020 is 77 billion yen, which is 817 million, which is pretty good.
Pretty good, actually.
But it's no Avengers Endgame.
That's very true.
Anyway, what do you think? Do you think this could be big? He's got his hat.
Yeah, no, I get
he's
that.
He's running in.
Sometimes he's leaping in.
Okay. He's making moves, though.
Oh,
yeah,
no, that's definitely true. There's a sense of movement there, which I think people appreciate.
Yeah.
People like lights and movement and straw hats.
Why is his name One Piece?
It's a great question.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe that hat is One Piece. You know how a lot of hats are two-piece?
Oh, yeah.
Like
are they?
Like, no.
Like the brim is one
the
part
brim is one
and it's
part.
Independent of...
Yeah, and they spin. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Any more or are we out of here? Okay, so they're the Straw Hat Pirates. I just remembered.
Okay.
Because I've actually seen all of these.
Mm-hmm.
I just had a lapse in judgment, but I remember
it's
everything.
Like that. It's because you've seen so much.
Yeah.
It's like me and jokes.
Yeah.
Where I've got every joke on the boil at the same time. You're thinking about every anime at the same time, so sometimes it's difficult to pull.
Yeah.
So if any time you're struggling to have an opinion or know something about an anime, it's not that you don't. It's you're just trying to.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just that anime.
It's like a ball of yarn.
You
got to kind of pick at it and pull it apart.
Yeah.
I'm loving this.
You're like, what's in this bit of the yarn? Oh, it's Akira. What's in this bit of the yarn?
It's the movie Akira.
The movie Akira.
Yeah. I've seen it.
Yeah.
I say to myself.
Yeah.
And to anybody who's an email.
Yeah, nice.
The movie Akira, I've seen it.
Yeah, cool.
Anyway, should we wrap the show up then?
Yeah, let's wrap it up, folks. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. Otherwise, wouldn't really be anything, would it? Nobody was listening to it.
That's true.
It'd be weird.
And you wouldn't hear this.
No, it's true. Well, then in that case, no thanks to people who aren't listening.
Yeah.
You dogs.
Go to hell.
Go to hell.
Live in a hell. Live in a ditch in hell.
Live in a ditch in hell, folks who aren't listening to this. But everybody else out there, I wish you were very fine. Don't live in a ditch in hell.
I agree.
That's right. Also, I'm not wishing, listeners of the show, I'm not wishing any like loved ones or friends of yours.
Now you got to have them listen to this so they don't live in a ditch in hell.
Well, I wasn't going to wish it on them, but I'm just saying they will.
Oh,
end
yeah,
up
yeah.
in a ditch in hell if
that's right. Yeah.
This podcast.
And that's on you.
Yeah, that's
not,
right.
If you're not getting this out there to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Folks, thank you very much, except for the aforementioned people who live in a ditch in hell.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for telling your friends. And if they listen, don't end up in a ditch in hell, which is nice. Thank you for subscribing.
Yeah.
And.
Having a good time.
Having a good time. And thank you for leaving a 5-star review if you have done so. If you can, it's very easy. You can do it on your podcast app.
Could do it in app. This is from Dom. It says, this podcast never stops bringing me joy, especially in times of high stress or mental strain. James and Meso bring awareness, appreciation, and ridiculous of nerd content with each episode and can make you laugh on their witty banter alone.
Ooh.
Wish more people I knew would listen to it. Well, they're in a ditch in hell then, aren't they? But they think it's dumb before they give it a try. To which I say, fine, but you're wrong. But it's fine, but you're wrong. If you're any kind of nerd with a good sense of humor or just someone who wants some frequency in your ears to bring you joy and relief, give these guys a listen or four. Thank you so much. And I got one here as well from I Dress Myself who says, I know the protocol is to write something witty in the review, but I'm exhausted and don't have a lot in the tank. I'll just say James and Meso are hilarious and I love listening to their banter. I've started every Monday with them for years and decided they finally earned their 5-star review. Thanks for everything, guys. Thank you, everybody, for the kind and thoughtful and generous reviews.
Let me tell you, if you're exhausted, we're exhausted too. We're just like you.
We're just like the listener.
We're not filled with boundless energy that you think we are.
No.
Like just absolute superstars.
Mm.
We're very tired.
I'm actually on the brink of a breakdown, Mason.
You think so?
Or in the middle of it, I don't know.
You could be in the middle of it. There we go. That's the spirit. Push through to the end. And eventually you
What's on the other end?
Who knows?
A bigger breakdown?
No.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Terrific.
Just a little dance party, probably.
That'd be great. I don't want that, actually. That's worse. Anyway, go on.
A nice lie down. Folks, if you want to get into contact with us,
please.
WeeklyPlanetPod at Gmail, at Facebook, at Twitter, at Bandcamp. You can also go to the Planet Broadcasting Great Mates Facebook group.
Yep.
Or the Weekly Planet Pod Discord or the Weekly Planet Pod Reddit subreddit.
That's right. That's
all
right.
All kinds
right.
of fun, good time chats about podcasts and pop culture. You're going to love it. You're also going to love Raw Collings. He edits this podcast. He does all kinds of stuff.
He's You're going to love him.
He's the best in the biz. And the business is podcasting. You can find him at Raw Collings on Twitter. You can find him at The Weekly Planet on Twitter. You can find me on Twitter at Wikipedia Brown. On Instagram, NickMaseau. That spells Nick Maso. James is Mr. Sunday Movies everywhere.
That's right.
If you want to support the show, you can go to patreon.com/Mr. Sunday Movies. You can chuck in a buck or, in fact, any amount that you wouldn't miss per
That's
month.
That's right.
We would appreciate that. If you can, but if you don't want to, you don't have to because you just enjoy the podcast. That's what
you're
the podcast is.
Trying to live
is.
Your life. That's
enjoy
right.
podcasts. Podcasts are like the free-to-air TV
That's right.
of audio.
That's
so
right.
it's like TV, but you can't even see it.
Yeah, and nobody else you know listens to it, so you're alone.
Except for the people on those Reddits and Discords and
That's
such.
Exactly. Well, that's true, isn't it? Oh, possum time. Possum
there
time
it is.
Going on, yeah.
Folks,
yep.
you can also go to bigsandwich.co. You can sign up for $9 dues per month. And you get all sorts of bonus podcasts and movie commentaries and all kinds of things.
So
and,
true.
Yeah, it's very
including
true.
Scream.
That's right. T-shirts on tpublic.com. Just search for The Weekly Planet. Most of them are unofficial at this point, but just grab one.
Yeah, whatever.
But just search for The Weekly Planet and grab the weirdest one you can find.
We're going to do some Halloween stuff next week, or as we call it, the Halloscream Spooktacular Shocktober, the 30 Worst Brackets No Cowards episode.
That's right.
Yeah, it's a big one.
Don't be a coward.
Come along.
Yes, you're exactly right.
Come along. And I've got another podcast called Suggestible where I'm making Claire watch some horror stuff for this week.
Did Claire make you plug that podcast on this podcast?
Yeah, she made me do it.
I knew it.
She said, listen, you weird pumpkin-headed freak. Why don't you? I don't know why you've done this, but you need to plug our other podcast,
That's
Suggestible.
That's what I thought.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, the Brute and the Bassist for Rack and Problem Musical Themes. That's everything. Right. That's now we got it everything.
Hey, great. All right. And goodbye.
Grab that chair, you guys. We'll see you next week. Oh, are you in the room? What are you doing?
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.